Welcome to Higley Flow State Park. 50 years ago when our church started, in the springtime, we decided to go for a picnic walk. And so we went out for a hike, and I don't remember where that was, but we had a nice time with a few families that we had. And we were discussing where are we gonna meet for the summertime? We had been meeting in our homes, but it was getting a little crowded for houses. And Dick Gerlach said, why don't we meet at Higley Flow State Park? So I came down and talked with the ranger, and that was fine with him. So we started meeting at this very location 50 years ago for our summer services. And we were here for 7 years. We come down Saturday and go around to all the campsites and invite all the campers out to the service. And then Sunday we'd have our service, and someone would bring a guitar, and one of the college students actually fixed up an amplifier, so we had a battery run amplifier and we could project to the crowd, and we had beautiful services down here. People like a high school gal by the name of Jody Exware got baptized down here. We had a couple of college students, Charles and Patty Foss, and they did their wedding right here. The lovely couple went on to serve the Lord in many ways. And it's been a precious place, a special place in our memories, and we're glad to celebrate that 50 years here today. And Jane and I are going to be talking about Moses today and things that we can learn from Moses.
All right. Well, I married a man who looks like Moses. he wanted me to cut his hair this week, but I haven't done it yet. And says, well, maybe next year you can give me a permanent. I says, no, I hate permanent smells, so I'll cut your hair. Anyway, so I wrote this poem a while ago, and it starts out, I married a man that looks like Moses. He gives me hugs instead of roses. Well, he couldn't afford roses. Actually, he just couldn't afford roses, but that was okay. I married a man who looks like Moses. His love is better than a dozen roses. Isn't that good? He's a plumber, a poet, a bird lover, a teacher, grandfather, skier, a remarkable creature. My talents are as varied as John's. But of course, they differ, and that has pros and cons. Our love has grown deeper over the years. We've learned how to listen instead of react. Not to just to each other, but also to God. It will be 53 years next week, and we feel thankful and awed. So glad that we stayed when problems were awesome. Keep our commandments, do not come to blows. We don't come to blows. So thankful for grace to give and forgive. So blessed and so eager for what lies ahead. And something more. So we're talking about something more today in this series. And we're talking about Moses. And in his early life, Moses saw the pain of his people in slavery. And he focused on himself. He was going to be this hero and deliver people. So he went out and he saw somebody, beating one of his relatives. And so what did he do? He killed God. he did. He was angry. He was going to be the deliverer. Well, he blew it. That was not the way God was going to bring things about. So he went to the desert for 40 years. 40 years to learn humility. That was a something more that he didn't have as a young person. And sometimes we don't even have it as an old person. But humility is something that Jesus had and he hung on to for his whole life. He was a humble servant. So he went to the desert to learn humility. And that was who he was apart from God. Even though he had great education, he grew up in a palace, he was not qualified to do what God had called him to do because he lacked humility. So he needed to know who he was, and he needed to find out who God was, what character was. And so then after God had called Moses, had sent Moses to the desert, he came back, and then God spoke to him again and called and says, now you're ready. But his reaction was a little different this time, and John's going to talk about that, about who God was and so much greater than Moses, and what he learned, what God could do through him, something much more than he could imagine. Yes, and then in his later life, he forgot what he learned. Oh, that's so sad that he forgot what he learned. And I'm going to be talking about that. But the consequences were not good. He forgot who he was apart from God, so he became arrogant, and he did not honor God as God. The consequences were sad for him. He did not get into the promised land where he's leading the people. He did not get to participate in the something more than the wilderness. Wow. So anyway, this is the story. And it's kind of like our life in some ways. John is not Moses. I'm not. Moses had a wife in the, but don't hear much about her. But anyway, you'll probably hear more from me today than John. He said, you can do most of the talking, so I'll stop. So give him a chance, okay?
Well, as Jane pointed out, Moses was born as a child and raised up in Pharaoh's home. And then he went off and he killed that Egyptian and had to flee from the land. And he spent 40 years in Midian taking care of sheep. And one day he was out and he saw a bush that looked like it was on fire, but it didn't get consumed. And so he went over to see what was going on. And God spoke to him out of the bush, said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And who are you and what's going on? And he found out that it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was going to use Moses to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh and take them into the land that he had promised them. And Moses says, yeah, but they aren't going to believe me. And he said, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he says, cast it down. So he threw it down and turned into a snake. And so then he picked the snake up and it turned back into a rod. And he says, you do that with the people and you do that with Pharaoh and they'll be impressed. And he says, but God, I stutter a lot and I'm not a good speaker. And God said, Moses, who made your mouth? And I remember when I was in college, I was a senior and second semester, had a degree and was getting my degree in broadcasting and planned on going into Christian broadcasting. And I went to an intervarsity conference, and there the main point of the whole conference was just seeing a need is not the same thing as God calling you. You need to have a call. And I saw a need in Christian broadcasting, but I knew I didn't have a call. And I went and talked to a Christian professor, and I shared that with him. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm ready to graduate with a degree, and I don't know what's going on. He said, how has God used you? And so I shared how I administered in InterVarsity for the 4 years. And he said, maybe God's calling you to be a pastor. And I said, but I'm not good in front of people. I get very nervous, and I don't talk well. And he said, he went to this passage in Exodus chapter 3. Where Moses said, I'm not a good speaker. And God said, who made your mouth? And I'll fill it. And I went home, I prayed about it. I applied to seminary and ended up in Potsdam. And that was God's call in my life out of Moses' experience, so that I really connected with that. And God used Moses in powerful ways. Moses was transformed by seeing God's power. He saw him there in that burning bush. He saw it with a snake, and he saw it while he was obeying God. This parting of the Red Sea, the providing of manna in the wilderness, in so many ways. He saw God's power. And he walked out the vision that God had given him, whether it was before Pharaoh or leading the people through the wilderness. And he also experienced God's presence in his life. he went up on the mountain and he got those Ten Commandments and came down and his face glowed so much because he had just been in God's presence. And that presence affected him for his whole life. And he would go into the tent of meeting and come out encouraged and built up and challenged. And God used Moses, a very weak man with a lot of issues and a lot of problems, but God used him in a powerful, powerful way. And God wants to use you and us in powerful ways. We need to listen to God's voice. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecution, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong.'" And we need to be honest about our weaknesses, but we need to be honest about God's presence and power in our lives. Here's a list of people that you wonder, how could God use them? Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah was just ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah, he preached naked one time. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. The Samaritan woman had multiple divorces. Zacchaeus, he was too tiny. Timothy, he had an ulcer. And Lazarus, he was dead. And they were all people that God used. And God wants to use you and me. Jane.
Yeah, I saw on your list, you forgot one. Paul was too religious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I can get that. Sometimes I can be too religious, you know. I, as you were doing this, I thought, yeah, this is Christian broadcasting. Guess what? You get to do what you wanted to do after all. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Aaron and Jim are here, and it's like, oh, this is fun. I never thought it would be so much fun. And sun is shining, but it's cool. It's cool here. You'd think it would be, I thought it was going to be really hot today at Higley Flow. And no, that's nice. It's like wonderful. It's beautiful. All these trees and the water. It's like, oh, God, thank you for giving me this opportunity. God is just so gracious. So my job was to talk about Moses in his later years when he forgot who he was and he forgot who God was. And so the passage is from Numbers, the first 11 verses, and I will read that. And here it says, "Now there was no water in the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'What, that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water.' Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle.' And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him, Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear, you rebels, shall we bring water out for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." Sad. That did not mean Moses was left out of heaven. He just didn't get in on the something more that God was going to give the people after that wilderness experience. So, you know, I do not want to be in that shape. I don't want to have had all these experiences of God being with me, and then at the close to the end of my life saying, "Well, now I'm the one. I just kind of forget about God. You know, so I could just do it on my own." No. And I don't want to lose the love that Moses lost, you know, for his people. He yelled at them. He was like, no. He was not humble. He his back to the beginning proud self. And we do have that tendency, you know, we all have our besetting sins. And those are the weaknesses which we can fall into if we're not careful because of our character. We have strengths and weaknesses in our character. So it is important to know who we are. Well, Moses was in a very hard place. God had done miracle works through him. And the people he's serving were headed to the promised land. And they had high expectations, but they started to grumble. They were still in the desert. It was a long time. Well, I can relate to this, because I was in this park 50 years ago with John, and I had come, you know, from the north side of Chicago. I didn't know what this Potsdam was on the map. I didn't even know. It was such a beautiful place. And I was moving 1,000 miles from my family and John's family. We came out here. We didn't know anybody. It's like it was difficult, but you know, God gave me encouragement and faith. And but I was a pioneer woman, and I liked it. I learned how faithful God was. I was 7 months pregnant when I came out here. Our daughter was born 2 months later, and so now we're bringing her to the park. We couldn't do that today, but you know, we didn't have much precautions about anything back then. We were kind of ignorant. We were, you know, not as wise as I wish we had been. But God blessed us, and we traveled through the wilderness of not having a church building. We met in the park, in the Civic Center, in the basement of the Civic Center, in Clarkson Hall, in the Methodist Church on Sunday night, and on the Roxy Theater. And it was a pioneer woman. And so I was doing everything. And I was playing the piano, and I was mentoring women, and I was, you know, doing a lot of things. It's like, that was my job. And God gave me grace to do it. But inside, I was depressed. I mean, I looked really good on the outside, but inside I was depressed. I didn't even know why I was depressed. I didn't even know I was depressed sometimes, but it did come out. But nevertheless, God was still there. And he gave me prophetic songs and words of encouragement for myself and for others. And he's given me the Holy Spirit's presence for all these years. So it's God has brought me through many kinds of wilderness. And I learned that through the wilderness of my depression, especially, he gave me faith, because I know that Jesus loves me. I learned that song when I was a child, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But I didn't know it in my heart for a long time. I didn't really know it in my heart. I knew it in my head. Now I know it. I know it so securely in my heart. that Jesus loves me and that Jesus is good and that he'll provide for me. So no matter what kind of a wilderness you're going through, if you have a need today, it's not just an outer need. Maybe you have that too. Maybe you have a loss of people, loss of job, loss of security. Those are wilderness things, but your inside self may feel pretty broken up too, but God is there. He'll be with you in that wilderness, in the emptiness that's there, because God loves you. So that's what I've learned. The joy of intimacy with God. Nothing compares to that. And so this is what Moses and Aaron had too, but especially Moses. He experienced intimacy with God. God gave him the Ten Commandments. God took him up to the mountain. He was there with God, and he was close to God. And it says in Deuteronomy, there's not arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Moses wasn't great in himself, but Moses was great because of God. So I don't want you to get the idea that I'm, you know, saying Moses is not a great person. He was, but he had his weaknesses, and so do I. And I'm familiar with scripture, you know, and I could get into the danger of losing God's blessing. I don't want to do that, though, because there's something more. I think God has something more for me still on this earth. And I'm 81. And last year, I guess I'll be 82 in a few weeks, won't I? Yeah, a month. But anyway, I'm still 81, and Moses didn't really start on his big adventure till he was 80, okay? So the shirts that we're wearing says, on the back of it, it says Caleb's kids. And Caleb was, you know, another person that went through the wilderness. He was someone who did make it to the promised land. He did. He was not the complainers and grumblers that did not make it. He was with Joshua, and he made it to the thing beyond the desert on this earth. And that's what I want to do too.
Amen. And he said, when we went in, what land do you want to get? And he said, I want the land where the giants live. I'll take that one.
So God uses us not, you know, because of our experience, our expertise, our education, our money, our genetics. No, he uses us because of our commitment to him, our desire to please him, our faith to receive what he has for us. So, but it's easy, you know, to get mixed up about what humility is. Because I used to think humility means I'm nothing, nothing. Well, I don't want to be a nothing person. A God created me. I am something. So humility is not I am nothing. But humility means I recognize my dependence on God. I recognize I am not God. You know, I don't control people. I can't even control myself adequately without God's help. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is self-control. And I need God's help, the Spirit's help, to even have the control over my own life, let alone trying to control someone else's life. He forgot he was a person with vulnerabilities, just like with the people he was leading. He said, shall we bring you out of this rock? No, he said those phrases, and it was like Moses was identifying himself more with God than with the people. It's like, ooh, you know, I think he forgot that God was higher than he was, you know. And so when he did that, he was looking down at the people. He was not with the people anymore. It's like, we need to stay together, you know, John. You know, and so as he continued to age, and I will have to because that's part of life, and I don't particularly like it, but, you know, it's like we need to stick together, and we will stick together. And I want us to stick together with the rest of the church as long as possible, you know. It's like if there is something more, I believe there's something more for us, and there's something more for every one of us. But what happened was Moses was rebellious, and he spoke harshly, and that was not what God is like. God is not harsh. If you're not familiar with Psalm 103, it just talks about God. Bless my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Yeah, God does it. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness. And the whole psalm goes on about God's character. And I can't say it now from memory, but it's in my heart. And I did have it memorized in one time, but at this moment, I can't remember all the words, but I remember the concepts. And so I recommend, you know, reading that psalm about God, Psalm 103. It's not very long, but it talks about God's character. You know, I can get over prepared. And I think I'm over-prepared today when I wrote all these notes. It's like, God's saying, maybe you don't need all those notes. Maybe you just need to depend on me. I'm not there yet. Okay. John. Yeah, we are a team, you know. And Jim said, okay, you can have as much time as you want. So I'm taking it. You know, I want to tell you about this one guy, you know, in Roanoke, and he was in Parishville, and he came to the park. Maybe he didn't. He came after the park. He came when we were in the movie theater, and his name is Joe Randall, and he owned this sugar bush out, you know, in beautiful sugar bush out near Parishville. And he had this little house out there, and it did not have the modern conveniences, you know, that we have, the plumbing and the stuff that we have. No, it was primitive. And Joe was primitive, and he wasn't particularly clean about washing his hands either. And so we kind of got used to that. You know, he'd come with his breech on his packet and take out all this candy and here to the kids. And I like, but we loved Joe, and he loved the Lord. And he knew Jesus. That was what was important to him. And so he went around. He had been an alcoholic, and God set him free. And he went around to everybody and told everybody that he met in his neighborhood and all over as far as he could in St. Lawrence County. He was telling people about Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. And so on his gravestone, these words are written: he loved the Lord. And so I said, okay, that's what I would like my grave written on my gravestone, if I have one. I mean, I kind of like to live till Jesus comes back. Maybe I won't get to do that, but if I die before Jesus comes back, that's what I'd like. She loved the Lord, and she loved people. I'll add that too. She loved others, because that it's so simple. That is so simple. That's a simple way to live. We know the Lord, love Him, honor Him, love people. That is what Something More is about. That totally is what Something More is about. So here I am at the end, not the end of my life, I hope, but the end of this sermon, because I gotta quit. But this is my little poem about me. I looked at the mirror, and what did I see? A woman who looked nothing like me. Not much like the girl of yesterday. Not at all like the child who loved to play. I looked at the one whose hair was gray. Then she smiled, and my fear went away. I said to that image, "You're still looking good." The girl agreed, for she understood. The child, the girl, the woman, all three have so much in common. They all are me. So you are the same person that God created. God created you in a beautiful way, whoever you are. He created you. He had His eye upon you in the womb, and He loves you. So here's some questions for you today to think about. So how well do you know yourself, and how well do you know God? If you want to know who you really are, get to know God, and He will show you who you are. He will show you who you really are. He'll show you both the good and the bad. He'll show you the weak and the strength. And He loves you. And He'll love you. And He'll use you. And then the second question. What is this something more that God has done through your faith and obedience to Him? Some of you walked with God for quite a long time. You know, maybe just a short time, and God has done wonderful things. So give Him credit. Give Him credit. Share your testimony of what God has done. And then thirdly, what is this something more God is calling to you to right now? What is this something more beyond the wilderness of this pandemic, whatever it is? Or is there something more even in this time when we're still not able to get together? God is powerful.
Thank you, Lord, for the example of Moses. Thank you for the fact that your Spirit is still working in your church today, and the same power that worked through him is available to work through us. And we present ourselves, Lord, as your instruments of grace to a very needy generation. In Jesus' name, amen.